Welcome back to another episode of the PAX What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. Remember, you can find the show on Spotify, support it if you like what we're doing. Too many S's in that sentence. Or find us over on YouTube, like and subscribe to the show there as well. Packers are 2-2 heading to LA to try and get their first win in LA since the 60s, which is a really crazy stat.
That is crazy.
Last couple times they've played, they lost under Mike McCarthy, and then Matt LaFleur has beaten them in Green Bay. They haven't necessarily had the travel. So Packers, the last NFC team to play in SoFi. So that's kind of a cool stat going into this weekend, little nugget. But yeah, Packers are 2-2, Rams are 1-3, and the Rams are just decimated by injuries. So we'll see how this one goes.
You are always full of the fun stats, the fun facts.
I like to read the dope sheet. I think that's fascinating.
You love the dope sheet, and you always bring the dope sheet to back what she said. So thank you for that. I remember circling this one on the calendar when we got the schedule and being like, this is going to be such a fun game. This could be a preview for the playoffs, and it might be a preview for the playoffs. Like you never know. But right now, the Rams are not at full strength by any stretch of the imagination. So it's hard to think that this is very lopsided in favor of the Packers, unfortunately, due to injury.
Yeah. And I mean, Puka Nacua obviously is on long-term IR. It sounds like they don't know when he's going to come back, potentially for a playoff push, but going with that. And then of course, earlier this week, Sean McVay already ruled out Cooper Kupp for the week. So that's their two best wide receivers, and it doesn't really get any easier for them down the stretch. They had the one miraculous win against the 49ers, lost a tough one to the Cardinals, and they're just kind of trying to find their footing. I was kind of surprised that Matt Stafford only has two touchdowns this season so far. Two touchdowns and two interceptions. It just doesn't seem like him, but when you're missing your top two receiving weapons, I can see why, that becomes more of a challenge. So I don't know. You want to start with the Packers offense maybe and see how they attack a not great Rams defense?
Sure. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. So it sounds like Jordan Love was a full participant in practice as of Thursday, finally, after being limited. Wasn't going to be a surprise if he were playing, obviously. We knew that.
We don't have to hear the word limited ever again. I don't have to listen to that word again. Cool.
And of course, that also means that he should have kind of shaken some of the rust off. We expected it against the Vikings. He got better as the game progressed, but exciting to hear that even though he had said after the game he was sore, didn't sound like there would be any setbacks. I don't think the Packers would have had him out there if they expected setbacks, but he should just be continuing to get better as the season progresses, which is always, of course, what you want to hear when you just paid your quarterback $55 million a year. So Romeo Doubs, kind of a question mark going into things for a personal matter. Christian Watson, they're keeping him off IR, so it sounds like they got good news there as far as his injury. Not sure though what that looks like, if he's for sure not playing Sunday, but don't know how long term he'll be out. So it's the Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks show, I think, going into Sunday.
It's the running back show potentially.
Yeah.
With Emmanuel Wilson and Josh Jacobs also healthy. Hey, we saw some more Bo Melton and Malik Heath at the end of the game this past weekend against the Vikings. So we could see more packages with the two of them, with Christian Watson and maybe Romeo Doubs out as well. We saw Matt LaFleur dial up some things for them too. So the Packers are not without weapons. Unfortunately, Luke Musgrave did not practice. Something popped up on the injury report for him, but we still have Tucker Kraft. So there are players available in this offense. And I think you mentioned it right before we started talking about the Packers offense, but this is a very banged up Rams defense. So I think the Packers can probably attack them however way they would like to. I think they can go into this week pretty much playing their brand of football and not have to worry about, do we want to be run heavy? Do we want to be pass heavy? They can pretty much open up the playbook and script it up however Matt LaFleur would like to. And I think they'll be able to move the ball pretty easily.
Yeah. In the same way we talked about the Vikings defense and Brian Flores last week, not really the case, unfortunately, for this Rams defense. They are really struggling to start the season. They're 31st in the league in points against, averaging giving up 28.8 points per game. 31st in yards allowed, dead last in the league in rushing yards, averaging 165 yards on the ground per game. So to say it's probably a good running back heavy game, you are absolutely right. Third and fourth down defense, they're 30th and 31st. So just really struggling. I think they're only they're allowing conversions like 50% of the time on third down, which is just not great. They only have one interception all season, and then only one of their defensive players has more than one sack through 4 weeks. So just going to be a really tough test against a Packers offense that's in the top 10 in just about every meaningful category: rushing yards, passing yards, third in, you know, total yards per game. So
yeah,
it'll be neat for that offense.
Entered into the week last week as the NFL's top rushing team. Mm-hmm. Fun fact that the announcers dropped into the broadcast. I can't remember. I would love to know the last time the Packers were the NFL's leading rushing team. but I think, like you said, they can lean into that again this week. Perfect week for the Packers to have a bounce back week to clean up some of the things that we have talked about for the past month that we'd like them to see. Clean game, fix some of the drops, no more penalties, things of that nature. This is going to be the week, if there is any rust to be had, which I don't anticipate there being, that'll be shaken off, I think, pretty quickly come Sunday.
Yeah, and it also sounds like the Rams secondary is kind of struggling with miscommunication and with penalties to start the season, which is familiar. Obviously, for the Packers, they've had their fair share of penalties as well. But Sean McVay earlier this week was talking about how they need to get that cleaned up. Just a lot of difficulty, I think, kind of communicating on the back end, and then some unnecessary penalties that are allowing teams to keep sustaining drives that the defense thought that they had shut down. So probably some opportunities to capitalize there for the Packers, who have been playing really clean football. You know, our +6 lead the NFL in turnover differential. The Rams, I think, are -1. So not taking the ball away at all and just making some kind of boneheaded mistakes that keep their opponent with the ball longer.
Yeah. So with that, do you want to talk about the Packers defense? Because still potentially leading the league, if not leading, at least up there in taking the ball away. This Packers defense, Xavier McKinney, 4 for 4. Will he go 5 for 5 this week, getting a pick against Matthew Stafford?
Yes. I don't know. Probably not. That would be insane, but but it would be cool. It's a fun story. Yeah, I don't know. This is a Rams offense that is still struggling. We talked about it. You have you're missing your top two wide receivers. Stafford is
5 players on the offensive line on IR. I think it is. I'm counting 5.
Yeah. I mean,
that's bad.
Like Tutu Atwell.
What?
He's probably wide receiver 1 at this point. He's kind of ascended into that role out of necessity, but like they're only averaging 18 points a game. 18 points a game. Like 29th in passing touchdowns, 28th in rushing yards, 26th in yards per attempt, only 3.7 yards on the ground, and 28th in red zone offense. I think they might be worse than the Packers in the red zone. So I don't, you know, it's we're hoping. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, the pass rush. Packers pass rush has been bad, and we thought they were going to tee off against the Titans, and they did. 8 sacks. It was incredible. And then they disappeared again against the Vikings. And this is an offensive line that, you know, is banged up. The Packers should get their opportunities. Matt Stafford, not very mobile, but we said the same thing about Sam Darnold, and he kept evading the pressure and picking up first downs with his legs when he needed to. So something's got to give with the pass rush. And I know that's kind of the downside of rushing 4, is that you keep 7 in the back end, and that's how you generate some of these turnovers, is you've got more ball hawks back there. But if you can't get home, you're going to have to get creative. Something's going to have to change for the secondary, because they are just, or for the pass rush, because it's just not living up to the Jeff Hafley defense that we had kind of expected, getting creative with some of those blitz and pass rush packages.
Yeah. Like we said, this offensive line is banged up as hell. So Packers, if they want to bounce back, pass rush, bounce back game. This should be the game. But Matthew Stafford is a vet. He's good at evading pressure. If it's not with his legs, he's going to be able to feel it and see it. He can beat a blitz. He can make magic happen with his arm. He's got all the arm angles, right? I think like the biggest weapon that the Rams still have at their disposal is their quarterback. Put some respect on his name, and he's a tough mother effer. We've seen it, right? He can take a hit. But we've also watched Matthew Stafford take a lot of sacks in our days as Packers fans. So there is a way to get to him, and this should be the week to do it, especially because if the Packers get Jair back, they can get a little bit of that like better coverage game back, and they have no one, the Rams have no one to throw the ball to. This could be, you know, some of those, like maybe not the beating the one-on-ones, if you will, but like if you make Matthew Stafford like hold the ball too long, just like converging on a coverage sack kind of day for him, just a long, long day at the office for him.
Yeah. And I mean, it's unfortunate. We obviously Devontae Wyatt got hurt late in the game last week. I think it was Ryan Wood had reported that he was leaving the locker room in a walking boot and crutches. Everything I've seen so far has been, you know, maybe he also dodged a bullet, but don't expect him really to be back this week. Sounds like he might avoid IR as well, but probably at least out a couple weeks while he recovers from that. So he was the Packers' best pass rusher through four games. He had three sacks. The rest of the grades, I mean, I know PFF is not the gospel, but boy, these are ugly. Wyatt, 66 out of 123. Carl Brooks, 68th. Kenny Clark, 99th. TJ Slayton, 117th. Then if you look at the edge rushers, Smith is 38th out of 111. So somehow up there. Lucas Van Ness, 69th. JJ Anagbari, 74th. Gary, 79th out of 111. So not what we expected from this unit that we honestly thought could be the strength of this Packers defense going into 2024. Thought that they had kind of the dogs up there to get after it, and now they kind of disappeared.
Yeah, it's just they're not executing, I don't think. And I mean, again, if they want to like go and tee off against bad offensive lines, fine, but teeing off against bad offensive lines does not make a good a pass rush. You know, you got to be able to do it against good offensive lines as well, because once you get into the playoffs, like that's who you're going to be seeing. You have to be able to get home. And you said it at the top of the show, but like sacks don't mean everything either. You have to get pressures. You have to get QB hits. You have to like affect the pocket in some way. And they're not doing that either. They're just not really doing anything. And leaving this up to the secondary and the linebacking core and putting too much pressure, I think, especially on the middle of the defense, is causing problems for this defense. And I don't want this to be the day where all of a sudden the Rams offense comes alive and they're like, oh, you know, this is our bounce back game against this Packers defense. Let's not have that.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about it a little bit after the Vikings game, but like Keyshawn Nixon has one of your sacks. Like if your corners and your inside linebackers are the ones responsible for those sacks, how creative are you having to get to put those guys in positions to get after the quarterback? Like what is your pass rush not doing that you feel the need to send like your nickel back? You know, like that's I think kind of the concern is like if you're going to play with four or even rush five at times, they have to get home because you're sacrificing that elsewhere. So thankfully the secondary has played well. Obviously they lead the league in turnovers, plus six turnover differential, but turnovers are volatile. We say it every season. Like it's just not sustainable. And unfortunately for the Packers last year, they didn't have many. They were like one of the worst teams in the league at generating turnovers. Thankfully this season they lead the league in turnovers, but is that sustainable? We don't know. So you can't really rely on it and hang your hat on it, because once that dries up and then you don't have a pass rush or turnovers, Are you capable of stopping opposing offenses?
No, I mean, unless you're amazing in coverage and you're getting a lot of PBUs and getting off the field consistently on third down, you probably at that point have to be like the best third down defense in the league. That would be like the only counter at that point. And you know, we're seeing too many conversions on third and 14 at this point for me to feel confident the Packers are that kind of defense.
So this is probably a too big of a question to ask you this early in the season, but do you have like an impression so far of Jeff Hafley? You know, have you felt like you've gotten enough sense of like who he is as a DC, or do you think that we've had such a small sample size that it's kind of hard still to gauge like his tendencies as a coordinator?
It's hard to gauge so far. I mean, there's definitely a few things that I definitely like. Like, I like his creative blitzes a lot, and I like he's definitely playing more aggressive, and you can tell that, I think more in the secondary, you can tell that the guys enjoy that style of play a little bit more. And yes, it's leading to maybe a few more explosives from opposing offenses that you would like, but that's where turnovers come from, right? The ability to press a little bit more and play aggressive, you know, go get the ball attitude, I think leads to turnovers. So I like it. And I like the downhill, like, attacking style that some of these guys are clearly playing with, especially like the Javon Bullards and the Xavier McKinneys and the way, you know, Edgerrin Cooper plays when he's in the game. And I've said it and I'm going to keep saying it. I like the way LVN is developing so far in this scheme. And we said it before the season even started that it might be good for his development. And same with Devontae Wyatt, even though now that he's hurt. So you can see it in the individual players, I guess, mm-hmm. would be my answer to your question so far, which hopefully is an indication that the unit as a whole is going to get there as well.
Yeah, you can certainly see why he had said Xavier McKinney would be like the perfect safety for his secondary. And you can certainly see why the Packers got a guy like Edge Cooper to play inside linebacker in the Jeff Hafley defense, because those kind of plays that they make show you what Jeff Hafley wants to do and what he wants to be about on defense. Unfortunately, I think we have to talk about the kicking situation, special teams, before we dive into final thoughts and score predictions. So I don't really know how to ask this other than how hot is Braden Arvison's seat, do you think?
Hot. Yeah. I think that if he has another game where he more or less, you know, is a part of their potential losing, he might be gone. Now, the better question is, like, do the Packers have a better alternative?
Right.
I think if the Packers had a better alternative, like, he'd be in the building, mm-hmm. right? There'd be competition. So that's the main question. How do you feel about it?
Similarly, I mean, I'd be curious, you know, Greg Joseph has had calls and visits, and now he's with the Giants.
Yeah.
Andres Carlson has not. So I think when those kind of things happen, it illustrates how the rest of the league is potentially feeling. Cade York, you know, as an example, he got waived by the Browns, then he was picked up by another team immediately, then released again. So I think the kicking situation kind of ebbs and flows, but there's like a consensus around the league as to maybe like who the NFL quality kickers are. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that there's another option out there. I don't think that the Packers would call Carlson again, considering that, you know, they released him and then brought in Arvison. It would be kind of weird for me to think that they would want him to come back, or if he would even want to come back at that point. They've tried out kickers this week. They've had multiple kickers in the building to work out. So I don't know if that's just trying to get a finger on the pulse as to who might be available. I thought I read earlier this week, correct me if I'm wrong, that Alex Hale can't play this year because of the way that they designated him as their international player. It sounds like he's kind of just like a 17th member of the practice squad, but can't be on an active game day roster. So I don't know if that's fully accurate or not, but that could be part of it as well, saying, hey, we're going to develop him all offseason, but we can't actually elevate him this year. But yeah, I think if the Packers lose a close one that they should end up winning by multiple points, you have to do something, because this is your third NFC team. You lost a combined, 7 points between your last two teams that you probably will see again in the playoffs. You can't afford to give up anymore, especially in a game that you should have a pretty easy time winning on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Should we talk about score predictions now?
Okay.
All right. Do you have one in mind? Because I have not given it a single thought until this moment.
Good. Putting you on the spot. No, I mean, I'd like to see the Packers get fix their red zone woes in this game. And put up like at least 4 touchdowns again. So I'm hopeful for like a 28-14 situation. It would be nice if they broke 30. I'd love if it was like a 35-14 situation, but bounce back game overall looks to me like the Packers playing clean complimentary football, less penalties, all of it.
Yeah. My brain immediately went to 34-17. I don't know. Well, that would be great. You know, we'll see. Like you said, Jordan Love threw 4 touchdowns against the Vikings. He had to settle in, but then there were opportunities available. I think he'll protect the football better. I think he'll probably, you know, another week removed from the injury, be able to step into his throws a little more, probably throw some more accurate balls. A lot of those drops, I think, you know, if the ball's like 3 inches higher, it's an easy catch for some of those guys. So I think his completion percentage looks better. I think the Packers can really, really light it up against this defense. And I think it's going to be a get right game for them. The concern is the defense. You know, this isn't a Rams team that's putting up a ton of points. Could I see the Rams scoring like 24 because it's Matt Stafford? Yeah. But if the Packers defense has the game that we expect them to, they should be able to keep them under 20. Mm-hmm. So 34-17 is probably optimistic of me, but we'll see.
Let's go for it. 34-17.
All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up? Into week 5 already of the NFL season.
Crazy. It goes by so fast. No, like I said, it just like complimentary football this week is like really what I'm going for this team. Clean, no turnovers, less penalties. I'd like to see them like get a nice statement win against a team that they should beat up on. And you never know, like you never know what the Rams are going to look like later on down the line. And if you're going to need this NFC win against them,
I mean, the Packers won last year 20-3 when the Rams came to Green Bay. They came in November. It was not great weather, but still 20-3. So, you know, it's possible. You've seen them do it. They had Aaron Donald last year. They don't have him obviously this year. So that stuff is significant. And I think the Packers, like you said, they need to put this one away. It needs to be a statement because there's some really interesting opponents coming up. They've got the Cardinals, another NFC team. Then they've got the Texans. They've got the Jags. So Jags aren't having the best start to the season, but not really any rollovers, you know, coming up on the roster or on the schedule. So hopefully this is a get right game for them and they start to just settle into the season, shake out some of the mistakes that you expect them to make in weeks 1-4, but not continue weeks 5 and on. So thank you, as always, for listening to the show. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney, everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts and on YouTube as well. We'll be back on Sunday to talk about, hopefully, a Packers win, getting to 3-2. But if not, we'll still be here. We just won't be as happy about it. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.